So, a few weeks ago, one of our members was having surgery at Methodist Hospital Medical Center, and it was an early surgery. And so Eddie told me, because he's the boss, that I had to go there and offer prayer with our member. And so I kind of fly into medical center and find a parking spot at Methodist, which is not the easiest thing, and by the way, not the cheapest thing. But anyhow, and generally my rule is I like to take the steps, the stairs a lot, because it's good exercise, and I used to take them anything under 10 floors. Now it's 8 floors, and probably next year it'll be 6 floors. But anyhow, on this day I had to go to the 8th floor, and I was in a hurry, so I was going to hop on the elevator. So I push the button, the elevator opens, there's a bunch of people, we go in, and there's about 8 people on the elevator, including 2 nurses who were in deep conversation. And it was obvious that the conversation started well before they made it to the elevator. And the one nurse who was speaking mostly was not very happy. To call her angry would be a huge understatement, right? Huge understatement. You know, in an elevator, most people don't talk, so when there's 2 people talking, you listen, right? And you couldn't help but listen. And this one, I don't know who she was mad at, and I don't know why she was mad. I'm just thankful she wasn't mad at me. So this is what I hear. At some point she says, and now he wants to bury the hatchet. And I thought, that's pretty good. Whoever it is she's mad at is making a peace offering, trying to reconcile, wanting forgiveness. They were going to patch things up and it would have a happy ending. She took a breath, and the next thing out of her mouth, yeah, I'll bury a hatchet right in his back. And I thought, well, so much for forgiveness. And being a United Methodist preacher, big on grace, I want to whip out my iPhone with a fancy Bible app and read to her Matthew chapter 18, verses 21, because it's all about forgiveness. And this nurse needed to learn about forgiveness. Well, 8th floor came, I got off, I fought the urge to preach, and I started walking to pre-op. So by the time I got there, it all of a sudden dawned on me. And I was thankful that I didn't whip out my iPhone and open up my Bible app and preach to her out of Matthew 18, verse 21, because I realized that the only difference between me and her is she was honest enough to say it out loud. Because there are times when I don't want to bury the hatchet unless I bury it in someone's back. None of yours. I don't think. Right? And I thought, well, maybe I need to hear Matthew chapter 18, starting at verse 21. Maybe there's a word in there for me. So I thought about it. I thought, well, if we're really going to commit, like some of us signed the banner, if we're really going to commit that we're going to live a life where love is greater than fear, if we're really going to commit to loving like Jesus loved, it all starts with Matthew 18, verse 21, because what I believe, in order to love like Jesus loves, the first thing we have to be able to do is to bury the hatchet, not in someone's back, but to forgive. And I'm willing to bet that there are other people in the room this morning who sometimes would rather bury the hatchet in someone's back than forgive. And if you've never felt that way, go give blood. Because this isn't for you. But if you're part of a human race like the rest of us, maybe we all need to hear what Matthew says. So if you have your Bible, open to chapter 18. We're going to look at verse 21, and we're going to work through this. And it starts innocently enough with Peter asking a very simple question. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Should I forgive as many as 7 times? Now, when Peter asked that, he was feeling pretty good about himself. Because the rabbinic law, the teachings of the rabbis in the first century said, all you have to do is forgive someone 3 times. And the 4th time, they're out. Man, I wish I was Jewish living in the first century. So Peter thinks, I'm going to be really good. Jesus, not 3 times, but how about 7 times? And Jesus answers, not just 7 times, but rather as many as 77 times. Now, in older translations, the RSV and I think the NIV and the King James, what Jesus says is 7 times 70 times, right? Now, I'm a liberal arts major, and I know that, and I'm not good at math, but I know 7 times 70 is 490. And I know some of you keep track, and you're waiting for the 491st time, right? The problem is, that's not what Jesus said. Multiplication was not big in the first century, right? They didn't have the little tables that you had to memorize in Hebrew school. And so what Jesus said was 77 times. Now, he didn't say, okay, on 78, you're out of luck. Because in the Bible, whenever you see the number 7, it's code. 7 is a perfect number in Bible numerology speaking, right? So what Jesus was telling Peter is, you need to forgive perfectly, not once, but all the time. All the time. Again and again and again. And just to make his point clear, Jesus tells this parable that he is brilliant in telling. Because he divides it into 3 parts. The first part will make you smile. You'll like it. You'll feel good. It's a warm, fuzzy feeling. Listen to what he says. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with the servants. When he began to settle accounts, they brought to him a servant who owed him 10,000 bags of gold. Modern language, just call it $1 bazillion. Because the servant didn't have enough to pay it back, the master ordered that he should be sold along with his wife and children and everything he had, and that the proceeds should be used as payment. But the servant fell down, kneeled before the king, and said, "Please be patient with me, and I'll pay you back." And the master had compassion on the servant, released him, and forgave the loan. Now, we like that. Because what you and I know is in that parable, the king represents God. And that the servant represents us. And what the parable is saying is, no matter how much you've sinned, God will forgive you. No matter how big of an account you have, God will forgive you. He will offer you grace. That makes us smile. It even makes us sing Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Now, what you have to remember, though, is the king was still out a bazillion dollars, and it cost him something to forgive the debt. He didn't get his money. Wasn't ever going to get it. Wrote it off as a loss. That's important. Because the second part of the parable, Jesus is talking about us, is what he says. When the servant, who was just forgiven a loan of a debt of a bazillion dollars, went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 coins, let's call it $20, he grabbed him around the throat and said, "Pay me back what you owe me." Then his servant fell down and begged him. Now, pay attention to these words. "Be patient with me, and I'll pay you back." Sound familiar? The exact same words that the servant who was forgiven used. This time, there's a slightly different ending. But he refused. Instead, he threw him into prison until the debt was paid back. Now, that's an amazing story. And Jesus very cleverly puts it in there. This guy who was forgiven a bazillion dollars, didn't have to pay it back. Someone owed him 20. He lost his mind, threw the guy in jail. No mercy, no grace, no forgiveness. So I have an iPhone. And one of the things I love about the iPhone is if you got to your home page, right? Your home screen, and if you swipe to the right, there's this section that comes up called Apple News. And they give four or five of the top headline stories, some of them real. I mean, some of them serious and some of them kind of fun. Well, a few weeks ago, I swiped it, and there was a story that the LA Times reported about this man who lived in Colorado. His name was David Hackler. And David Hackler was a professional, but on the side, Mr. Hackler liked to earn a few extra bucks, and he was an umpire for a semi-pro baseball league that took place in Boulder, Colorado. Well, one day, Mr. Hackler is in a hurry, running to a meeting for work, and he is speeding a lot, and he admits that, and he gets pulled over. Now, has anyone ever been pulled over here? And the first thing you do is you start trying to make a deal. You beg for mercy, right? Well, Mr. Hackler was no different. He tried to talk his way out of the ticket. The police, any of our police officers here were there at 9:15? Okay. And the police officer did the typical thing a police officer does and didn't care and wrote a ticket, handed it to him. Well, Hackler was hacked. And he started complaining, and the police officer said this to him. This is his parting words. "If you don't like the ticket, go to court." Hackler drove off. Well, a couple of weeks later is opening day for the semi-pro league that Mr. Hackler umpired. He happened that day to be umpiring behind the plate. Who do you think the first batter was that came to bat? Yeah. And they recognized each other, right? So as the police officer, now batter, is digging into the batter's box, he looks at Mr. Hackler and he says, "How'd it go with that ticket?" Mr. Hackler, the home plate umpire now, says, "You better swing at everything." Now, that is a dream story, because it's what every one of us who are honest with ourselves wants to do. When someone hurts us, we want to pay them back, right? We want revenge. We want to extract our pound of flesh. We want to get even. We want to say to them, you better swing at everything because you're going to strike out, right? I mean, is there anyone who doesn't think that when someone hurts them? I mean, we all do. It's part of who we are. It's our initial response. Look, I know there are people in this room. I know every one of us, unless you are just like amazingly lucky. Every one of us in this room have been hurt by someone. Sometimes we're hurt intentionally, sometimes unintentionally. We've been cheated on, lied to, betrayed. We've been gossiped about, lied about, talked about. And you know it hurts. And it's personal. And your first reaction is to want revenge. But if we're going to love like Jesus, our first action has to begin by stepping towards forgiving. And let's just be real. Forgiveness is hard because it cost us something, right? The king in the story, it cost him $1 bazillion. And what it cost us is the ability and the opportunity to get payback, to get revenge, to give that person what they have coming to them, which is what we want to do. I believe that forgiveness is the greatest act of faith. Because when we forgive, we take it out of our hands and we put it in God's hands. And as followers of Jesus, we know how God will respond. Like the king in the story, he'll respond with grace. And if we're honest, we want revenge. Sometimes we get confused what forgiveness is, don't we? So I'm going to tell you what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not forgetting. I don't know whoever said forgive and forget. Whoever said it was not human, right? If you are hurt, you are scarred. And just like a scar on your body, every time you see it, you remember it. It is not possible to truly forget. For example, I will never forget that my dad abandoned me when I was 5. I can forgive him, but I'll never forget it. We're called to forgive. Forgiveness is not condoning someone's actions. It is not making excuses for someone. Forgiveness is not saying, it's okay that you hurt me. Forgiveness, and here's the hard one. It took me forever to learn this. Forgiveness does not always mean reconciliation. You know why? Because forgiveness is not about the person you just need to forgive. Forgiveness is about you. You see, I used to lay awake at night and I was upset that my dad would do that, right? And I used to sit there and I think, you know, surely he's laying awake at night wherever he is, regretting what he did. And then I found out one day he didn't admit that we existed. So there's no way he was laying awake at night. But forgiveness isn't about how the other person responds. You forgive because it's what Jesus would do. And you forgive because it's, well, the only thing that costs more than forgiving someone is not forgiving someone. There's been thousands of studies in the last 7 years going over what happens to your body when you don't forgive. you release a toxin and it builds up and all this stuff happens, and Jill can explain the medical aspect of it, but it ain't good. And that little grudge that you hold, that you refuse to let go of, it kind of grows like this cancer, and soon it consumes you, right? And you know what you become? You become one of those people who are bitter and angry and suck the life force right out of the room. I am willing to bet that if you found all the bitter, angry people and laid them on a couch and analyzed them, I am betting you that most, if not every one of them, their bitterness began when they refused to forgive. Because that's what forgiveness does. My favorite forgiveness author is a guy named Lewis Smedes, and he wrote a book called The Art of Forgiving, and what he says in this book is so real. He says, when you forgive, you set the prisoner free, and you realize that the prisoner is you. That's why we forgive. So you should have an index card. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to grab a pencil, and we're not going to do this in here, but I want you on the top of the index card to write down these words. People I need to forgive, okay? And see, there's a little white space, you can put that on there, or if you don't like lines, you can put it on the back. People I need to forgive. Now, we're not gonna have you fill it out here. Matt and I talked about it, and here's why. This is a very personal, very private thing, and we don't want the person next to you looking at what you write, just in case the person next to you is the one you have to forgive, right? It would make make a really bad lunch. So we want you to do this in the privacy when some time that you have. And on Monday, tomorrow, if you subscribe to the Monday Minder, part of that Monday Minder will give you like steps on how to forgive someone and yada, 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 that stuff. And I'm going to share with you the prayer I use when I finally get around to forgiving. And I'll be honest, forgiveness for me doesn't happen overnight. I wish I could tell you, as soon as you hurt me, I forgive you. I have to kind of ease into it, right? I think about the hatchet and the burying in your back, and then I get to this prayer. And the prayer I use is something like this: God, I choose to forgive, fill in the blank, for what they've done to me. I choose not to hold on to this resentment anymore. That's my choice, because forgiveness is a choice. If you wait to feel like forgiving someone, it'll never happen. It's a choice. Now, before you decide not to do this little exercise, before you decide, you know, Marty always gives us this and I never do it, let me finish the, remember I told you the parable was three parts? Let me finish the last part. Maybe this will help you see why this is so important. So the king finds out about the servant that he just forgave for $1 bazillion, and the servant wouldn't forgive for $20, and the king loses his mind and goes ballistic, right? Calls this servant back in front of him in chains, drags him in front, and just goes off on him and says, you know, what in the, I offered you grace, and you refused to extend it to someone else. I gave you forgiveness, but yet you wouldn't offer it to another person. You've rejected everything I gave you because you wouldn't give the same to your brother or your sister. And so what this king does is he takes back everything, throws the guy, his wife, his children in jail, in prison, until they can pay back the $1 bazillion, which you and I know they'll never be able to. And that's how the story ends. But then Jesus adds these lines. This is why we want you to do this exercise. Because Jesus says this: My heavenly Father will also do the same to you, if you don't forgive your brother or your sister from your heart. First part of the parable makes you feel good. The second part of the parable, well, it's us. The third part of the parable teaches why we forgive. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive. My Heavenly Father will do the same to you if you fail to forgive your brother or your sister. So it's your choice. But if you're going to live a life where love is greater than fear, where you want to love like Jesus, it begins with forgiving. But it's your choice. You can choose vengeance or mercy, freedom or prison, hatred or grace, life or death. Your choice. And that's the end of the story.